Hello and welcome to the Consumer Goods Forum End-to-End Value Chain podcast. My name is Joelle Mbuya Leclerc and I work in the communications team. In this podcast series, we'll be hearing industry insights from experts working towards collaborative solutions that benefit the entire value chain. Today, we have the absolute pleasure of hearing from Sastry Penyamati, who is the co-founder and VP of Strategic Alliances and Partnerships at Punch. And Punch was actually one of the startups that showcased their innovative ideas at this year's Consumer Goods Forum Summit in Vancouver last month. And today, Sastry will be talking to us all about digital transformation and preparing physical retailers for the future. Good morning, Sastry. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Great, Sastry. So today we've got a very interesting topic, and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear all about what you've got to say about digital transformation within the retail space. So let's dive right into the questions. So, Sastry, in your opinion, how have consumer expectations changed over the years?
That, I think, is a very, very fundamental question. First of all of us are not just solution providers, but we're also consumers at some level. Over the last 15 years, since the beginning of, let's say, the internet, consumer expectations have been transforming very rapidly. Their expectations are changing, not only because of new technologies that are available, but there are many new brands that have been born in this time that have been delivering, you know, very new types of experiences for customers and then have been building new businesses around those. From a consumer perspective, what happens is today's customers are very technically savvy. I can kind of paint the picture of three broad categories, if you will, for those expectations. The first thing is that from most retailers, they expect value and convenience. That means specifically the ability to have a large selection of products and or services at the competitive prices, if you will. The second key piece that they look for is they expect that the retailer will make every experience very personalized. So in other words, it matters that they know who I am, where I live, what products I may have purchased from them in the past, and what my preferences are. So this expectation is across all types of retail. And the third thing is the ability to begin and complete my experience anywhere and anytime. I may begin my experience offline by browsing for product selection inside a store, or I may begin that journey online and then walk into the store for purchase. So what I expect as a consumer today is that the retailer is able to deliver those types of experiences for me across any channel, across any store format, and at any time. So these are sort of essentially have become the new quote-unquote bar for retail. In the consumer's minds, things are blending between different types of businesses. There's a whole generation of customers today that have never seen the world before the internet existed, before mobile devices existed. Kids that are in their teens today have never known a screen that is not a touch screen. So they expect that if I want to watch a movie, all I have to do is to swipe and it'll be there for me. If they want to purchase a book, it's just a click of a button. Now, when they walk into physical stores, that expectation translates. They spend more of their time online. You know, they see physical experiences as an extension of online experiences, as opposed to the opposite that previous generation of customers were used to, where they can clearly separate online and offline experiences.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Sastry, for sharing that. So, I mean, it's clear with the emergence of new technologies and new brands that kind of give new consumer experiences that there have been changes in expectations over the years. And thanks very much for highlighting those three categories, which are value and convenience, personalized experiences, and being able to begin and complete experiences anywhere and anytime. So Sastry, you've spoken a lot about the consumer. So can you tell us, what are some of the key challenges that face retailers?
Yeah, that I think is the opposite problem for the consumer expectations. In other words, from a retailer perspective, I think traditionally, if not that long ago, that retailers specialized as either being physical retailers or online retailers. So you had, of course, many of the traditional businesses, many of them fantastic brands. They've been built over 100 plus years. They specialize in delivering a good selection of goods for customers to walk in the stores, browse, make a purchase, and take it home with them. Then, of course, you have online retailers for whom the entire sort of experience happens via e-commerce. And now you essentially have, from a retailer perspective, those worlds are blending. And from a physical retailer perspective, there is some advantages that online retailers inherently possess, and physical retailers have to contend with that. Online retailers offer better convenience and better personalization by default, and the idea that customers can shop for products anytime. And for physical retailers, matching their own experiences, their own selections in terms of offerings for customers, their own ability to offer the anytime, anywhere kind of experiences is not as trivial. The other type of things are, there are new players that have emerged and that compete against the incumbents across every step of the value chain. You can now, you know, do business with companies that are delivery companies, that are back-end supply chain companies, that are personalization companies, any number of different things, where these are the kinds of companies that are disrupting the dominance of physical retailers. So it is really a tough time to be a retailer, but I also think of it as it is a great time to be a retailer, because it's once in a lifetime opportunity to transform how they do business and how they can serve the customers. The reason it's an opportunity is that even though all of the buzz is about online retail, we see, and this is specifically for the US, about 89 to 91% of all transactions still take place in brick and mortar retailers. Only 9 to 11% of all transactions are now taking place with online retailers, although online retailers are growing very fast. If you were to fast forward 10 years ahead, we would contend that online retailers will be at the most, let's say, 40 to 50%, which means that 50% of business will still be done in physical retail locations. So which means that the physical retailers, while they are being challenged by online retailers, still have an opportunity to transform their own operations and address the needs of the customers. Otherwise, this will be threatening to their very survival.
Great. Thank you very much, Sastry. So like you said, it's a tough time for physical retailers, but it's also a great time if they embrace the opportunity to transform. And so, Sastry, in this regard, how are market leaders addressing this issue? And I mean, what are some of the key points that physical retailers need to consider?
So first of all, I think given the growth rates of online retailers, many of the physical retailers have started to take notice. Many customers are abandoning the physical retailers when the physical retailers are not delivering what they expect. We see examples of companies like Sears, very solid brands, facing enormous challenges to their business in terms of closure of stores and things like that, necessitated by this customer-driven behavior. If you don't do anything about today's customer expectations, it can be bad for business. But on the flip side, there are many retailers, you know, that are taking advantage of this change in customer expectations to improve how they do business. I would like to kind of dwell on two examples at the opposite ends of the spectrum. One would be some brands like Best Buy. Best Buy is an electronics retailer here in the United States. And some years ago, they were directly threatened because customers were walking into their stores, being able to look at shop for televisions and other types of products. And while they were in the stores, they would do price matching on their smartphones about where to find the cheapest same television online at a lower price, and then they would walk away. And Best Buy has since invested considerably in their physical stores, both improving the experience of the store, but also more importantly, making it easy for customers to get value from their purchases in the store by offering additional services like home delivery, and but also things like assisting the customers with setting up these televisions at home for a better watching experience and so on. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you see brands like both Amazon that were first started as online-only brands, like Warby Parker, now opening stores. What they're looking to do is to take their knowledge of how to serve these customers in a very highly personalized fashion online, and then deliver similar experiences in physical stores. So those are like examples that I would consider as good examples for other retailers to carefully study. And these are still early days for this transformation.
Thank you very much, Sastry, for those great examples. And so can you tell us a little bit more about how brands or retailers can prepare for the future and how technologies such as artificial intelligence and machine learning can help?
Yeah, I think in order to sort of really think about this issue, we have to just look at the patterns of what has happened over the years. Traditionally, for physical retailers, one of the biggest challenges has been the traditional technologies, I would say legacy technologies, were too slow to move to the cloud, which meant that physical retailers could not understand customers and their purchase-related information in real time. They could only understand one or the other, not both together. In other words, if I were to understand a customer well, and if I were to deliver a personalized experience, I need to know not just their demographics or how to send them an email or how to send them a text message. I also need to be able to say when they walk into the store, what exactly are they looking at? What exactly did they purchase? And then be able in real time to serve up relevant offers. But the first part of what I just said is very difficult to deliver because traditional systems like the point of sale systems have not migrated to the cloud as fast as people are expecting. But now many companies have attempted to solve this problem successfully. But then once you have this, what it really does is it creates what I would call a data foundation about the customer. So once you have those two things, then new technologies like AI and machine learning help. Because in the past, there was a scarcity of this kind of contextual data about customers and their purchases in real time. But now that those problems are being solved, there's an abundance of data like that. So what AI and machine learning do is they help brands interpret that data much better than humans can ever do and be able to then translate that into more personalized experiences, more relevant offers, and in real time. And this is not like 5 to 10 years from now. These are technologies and opportunities that brands can take advantage of today.
That's really great to hear that this is not something that brands need to forward plan for, because these are technologies that are available today and that can be leveraged today. Thank you very much, Sastry. And before we wrap up the podcast today, this has been a really interesting topic, and I'm sure our listeners would like to engage with you further on this. So where can they reach out to you?
Yeah, my personal address is my first name, Sastry, Sastry at punch.com. Punch is punch.com. People can also reach out to me via LinkedIn, and we would be more than happy to speak to them and share our experiences and journeys.
Super. Well, thank you very, very much, Sastry, once again for joining us today on our podcast series. It's been really great hearing your insights.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
And thank you very much to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of the End-to-End Value Chain podcast, and be sure to catch the next one. In the meantime, for more information about the End-to-End Value Chain initiative, or to listen to previous podcast episodes, please visit www.tcgfvaluechain.com.